calling the special council meeting of March 18, 2020. Will now come to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Arboleda.
Here.
Mr. Bishop.
Here.
Mr. Davidson.
Here.
Mr. Haynes. Mr. Walker.
Here.
Mr. Whedon.
Here.
You have a quorum.
We're going to call Mr. Haynes now. I did talk to Mr. Haynes, who had been traveling outside the state and arrived back at the end of last week, and told him it would be best if he were to quarantine himself from us, and he's calling in to listen. You know, back in D.C., who knows what he brought back?
Oh, boy.
What about Spain? Did you bring back any?
Oh, no, I've been back for more than a month.
Oh.
And I was in Juneau before I got back here. Okay, do I pass the test, Mr. Davidson?
Well, we're not sure because...
Andy or Buddy?
Because this Chinese virus might be... Did you hear it from this morning?
I'm 6 feet away from you.
Did you hear
Hello?
This morning? Hello? Call it the Chinese virus?
Yeah.
To confuse. And also, did you see this...
Can you hear us, Terry?
Hold on. Terry?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Terry, for joining us. Okay, we just had the clerk's roll, and now we have, first item is public comments. It's kind of hard to have public comments when we're in a closed door.
We advertised the telephone number people could call in, and this line right here is dedicated for public comments.
Is there anyone on the phone? Okay. We'll go right into new business, and the next item under new business is ordinance number 1395. Which you all have, an emergency ordinance of the Council of the City of Kodiak, temporarily authorizing the suspension and or modification of various sections of the City of Kodiak Code of Ordinances regarding public meetings and participation in order to ensure the health, safety, and welfare of our community during a state-declared public health emergency and declaring an emergency. Could we have a staff report?
I'm going to pass this to the city clerk.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. The emergency ordinance that is before you temporarily suspends and or modifies various sections of the Code of Ordinances regarding public meetings and participation in order to ensure the health, safety, and welfare of the community. This ordinance gives authority to the mayor to modify and or waive provisions pertaining to scheduling, public participation, teleconferencing, and other provisions related to public meetings if deemed necessary for public health and safety, as long as the modifications are in compliance with state law. In addition, the same authority given to the mayor extends to the different boards and committee meetings. And also per city code, affirmative votes of 5 members of the council is required for passage of this ordinance. And it also becomes effective after adoption. So if you adopt it right now, it becomes effective as of right now.
Okay,
that's all I know.
What's the council's pleasure? Mr. Davidson?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance number 1395.
Second.
Okay, is there council discussion, or do you have questions of the clerk? Mr. Davidson?
I just want to emphasize that this ordinance is in effect immediately after this is passed, and that the public should be aware that that is the case.
We will be having a live stream tonight at 6 o'clock, and we can make that mention from the Emergency Service Council to reflect what's going on with the city as well. The borough's doing the same thing, but not until tomorrow. Any other council discussion or questions? Okay, will the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Arboleda.
Yes.
Mr. Bishop.
Yes.
Mr. Davidson.
Yes.
Mr. Walker.
Yes.
Mr. Whedon.
Yes.
Does anyone wish to change their vote? Motion passes, Your Honor.
Now, do we have a city manager report?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go right ahead.
So, what I'm going to do is explain a few things. I'll start with canceling the meetings. Are we going to cancel next week, since we just did this ordinance, passed this ordinance? Are we going to cancel next week's meetings?
What's on the agenda?
We're not prepared. There's just no way we're going to be prepared.
For the meeting?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem canceling meetings for a bit, and maybe until the end of March, March 30th. That's when this declaration of emergency has come forth from the governor. We'll see what the council wants to do. I know that other meetings that I'm involved in, they're just doing Zoom, but I know that you're inundated with lots of other things regarding the crisis that we're in or the situation. Rich and then John.
I agree with you, Madam Mayor. Put it off to the end of March. If you're seeing things special, we can call it a special session.
John?
I was going to ask the manager, does anything that's timely, like the bid award for the wastewater treatment or something, whatever it might be, is there anything that needs our attention the next 2 weeks that we need to...
Can you think of the agenda?
You need a response from us.
I believe the wastewater treatment plant items are scheduled in April, the first meeting in April.
Okay, so there's nothing for the rest of this month.
Are you going forward with that?
Yeah, so far we haven't delayed any bid openings.
So we could call, would that be scheduled for next week? Do you want to have that meeting then?
And then the siren is...
Is that going on too?
Opens the 27th, I believe, and the award would come in April. So nothing right now that we know of is time sensitive.
Okay, so we don't have to have a meeting because of the wastewater treatment plant bid?
Those are scheduled in the first meeting of April.
Oh, yeah, okay. April. So I think that if there is anything that you see and whatever comes up, as Rich was saying, we can call a special meeting if need be.
That's what I'm hoping to do.
Yeah, because you're just, it's just a lot right now. Does everyone agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mike?
Second item is there's going to be a lot of communication and it's going to be by email. So I understand we have a couple new devices here that we can look at. I'd recommend at least check it once a day. We're trying to keep the council, the emergency services organization is keeping the council informed through press releases and just decisions that we're making. I'd like to do that by email. I've got support by the clerks to help address that. There's not a lot of time for individual phone calls right now. Things hopefully will slow down, but we're going hard right now. And I want the council to know what we're doing so that you're approached on the street and you know what, kind of a reply to give to everyone. So for instance, we put out our fifth news release just yesterday. I think it was yesterday. So we've got five news releases or press releases about the coronavirus and what the city is doing and what the community is recommended to do. As you heard today, the governor has issued a health emergency. So restaurants, bars, anything that dines in is now off limits to dining in. You can still do takeout, however that applies to your business. Bowling alleys, theaters,
Bingo halls
have all been closed. Our library is closed. Our city facilities at the pool was closed on Saturday. The ice rink was also closed to activity, organized activity. The intramural sports in the gym is all closed because the high school is closed to access. The teen center was closed Saturday as well. The key here is to isolate. The city employees are continuing to work, and I've got a question to ask of you. We're all working within, you'll see the library. There's work to be done. This is a good time for catch up. And that's what we're doing right now, and some departments are sharing to accommodate needs. So right now we have no problem keeping people busy, and my goal is to keep them working, keep them paid, and get through this. The more economic stimulus we can have in the community, the better. We're going to see some differences, I should say. I don't know if this is turning the economy down or if it's status quo right now, but if we start closing restaurants and bars and other facilities, there's going to be some economic impact in the future. And as we go into our budget session, I think we'll have to be addressing that, our actual bottom line revenue. So I mentioned the public announcements, they're going out. We're sending those to as many organizations as we can, including the canneries, the processing plants. We've got multiple agencies on our mailing list. And I think the message is pretty broad right now, that everybody knows the basics, but with what the governor did today, I say today, I think it actually happened last night.
It did.
It's effective today. That's going to have repercussions in our community. And then, as the mayor said, tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to give another public address and try to answer some questions that the public may have. We're not going to take call in, but we're going to have a list of hot questions that people have and see if I can address those publicly.
On that note, can I just ask a question here of the council? If there are questions that people have been asking them, can you give those to Mike so we have those?
Yeah, even right here at the meeting, so.
John?
Just a question that I have is what extra precautions or steps are we taking for our first responders so that they're able to perform their duties?
So
that applies to Coast Guard. Anybody else is,
right.
Would know that, but I mean, that's.
So the message going out is for anyone that's ill, if they feel like they may have the virus, to call their healthcare provider. And then they'll receive some instruction from the provider on what to do. They'll ask several questions and they'll determine that they are at risk or not at risk. And then there's a sample collection area set up right now. It's going to be at East Elementary, and the healthcare providers will be directing someone over there. It'll all be by reference. So if, let's just say, a person has suspected infection, the healthcare provider will recommend they go and have a sample taken. And that's going to be at East Elementary, and they've got hours established. So it doesn't affect us as a city so much as far as how they're organizing that. That's another group doing that. But we're part of that. We set up a tent for the staff, hospital staff. We provided some amenities there, porta potty and heat. The Lions Club set up a tent for the drive-thru, so if it's raining, you can still be able to take a good sample. As far as our health, our fire department, our police department, they're all up to speed on their precautions. We haven't had any pickups yet, and we're looking at direction from our medical sponsor, John Everett, whether or not we should be putting people in the ambulance. The best thing is separation again, isolation. So right now the direction is to just drive to where you're directed to. If you're directed to go to the hospital, you can just drive there. If you're directed to go get a sample taken, just drive over there. Get some transportation. But right now we haven't been transporting anyone. We have no confirmed cases on Kodiak. I think today's paper said we sampled 44 people or something like that. But according to the latest is we have still no known cases. So once again, we're waiting on confirmation from our medical provider. He's employed by the city. He's also an ER doctor. Our medical EMS needs a physician sponsor to administer certain drugs and actions, so that's why we're under the guise of a physician.
Charlie, did your hand up?
I just had a comment. For those who don't have a medical provider, what number should they call, or who should they call?
Well, I asked someone that question yesterday, and they said, just call your healthcare provider. I said, what if they don't have one? They said, call one. So, or call 211, I think is.
211.
Is a
211,
good,
okay.
Is good, you know.
Because we should emphasize that on people, because I'm sure a lot of people in this town do not have a healthcare provider.
Right, well, right. With chemo, those doctors going away after 35 years, but it is being emphasized at the top of each press release and will be emphasized tonight as well.
Now I hear the number 211 is kind of general questions and such, but it may not be directly COVID questions, but a question like, I don't have a healthcare provider, who should I call? I think you'll get some support there.
Laura?
Madam Mayor, I actually did have someone, you mentioned CanRaise earlier, Mike, and I actually had someone ask me what the CanRaise are doing as part of their precautionary measures, since these are bigger employers who employ a lot of people, and they work pretty closely with each other. My mom works for IMSA, which is about to be Silver Bay, and I asked her what they were doing other than, you know, having Purell stations, hand sanitizing stations, and their cleaning lady spraying alcohol everywhere. They don't really, they haven't really heard from anybody else about, I mean, of course, it's common sense. Stay away if you're feeling sick, cover your mouth and nose if you're coughing or sneezing, but is there more that, I don't know, fish work group or someone's doing to reach out to these employees who...
So we've been sending the news releases to them as well. Jim Mulligan, our fire chief, was going to reach out to the a couple people in the canneries. I haven't heard back from that. We asked that question this morning again. He may have done that. We just haven't had a report on that. But we're going to make a concerted effort to reach out to him as soon as possible. And I don't think the governor had any direction on manufacturing or fish processing. So I don't know what that would do, but if, you know, there is a limit on group sizes, I'm not sure how that's going to apply to them as well. So that's an unknown for me right now.
Okay. But we're doing that outreach to meet with them.
Okay. Through the fire chief?
Pardon me?
Through the fire chief?
Yeah, Jim. Yeah. Jim said he would do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And they could call him as well. So another concern, you know, there's this quarantine suggestion, and Terry is well aware of that. Everyone is suggesting 14 days. One person said 15 days. 15.
Who said 15?
President Trump.
Oh, it's 14. He said Chinese virus.
But anyway,
that counts for the time change.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't know. It's 14.
Yeah. So we've given our employees, and this is what I'm looking for some support here. We've given our employees direction. As this started to escalate in the last several days, was it Monday? We met. We had 10 employees off island returning from vacations or some other trip, all in states that have the coronavirus, okay? Now all 50 states have it. So we have imposed a self-quarantine for those 10 people. Okay, so the message is work from home. We've got computers and laptops and access electronically for them that we're distributing. Work from home. If you can't work from home, you're going to be paid administrative leave. In other words, you're not taking sick leave, you're not taking annual leave, you're getting paid administrative leave for 14 days because they didn't know this quarantine happened when they left. Mm-hmm. Now we've got people since Monday, the 16th, if you're leaving the island and returning as an employee, you're going to also be self-quarantined for 14 days. And that's an elective that you can make yourself. Do I want to go? Do I need to go? And if they are leaving island as of Monday, this Monday, today's Wednesday, they are required to take 14 days self-quarantine and use sick leave. And once they run out of sick leave, they're using annual leave. And if they run out of both for some reason, there may be a few people that have very low balances, we'll allow them to go into the negative side of the balance, mm-hmm. and then that'll still be paid back through accrued leave. So that's what we're doing. Most people support it. They think it's a wise decision because I think if we can isolate and keep people from getting sick, we're all the better for it. It's going to be a disruption for some, but going forward, they know what the rule is. So there's a couple people that are going just to Anchorage for medical. I know the governor said if you leave the state, you should quarantine. I'm saying if you leave Kodiak, you should quarantine, because they're still on the airlines, they're still in the airports, they're still in a hospital that has potential cases. So that's what I'd like to do. And I've already announced that, but if you support that and ratify that, that message will be given today to all employees in print.
John?
I know the borough is doing something similar, except I don't believe they're allowing administrative leave for those that travel prior to the ban, if you will. But the borough is putting everybody that comes back on administrative leave. So that sounds very prudent to me, and I certainly support that.
Okay. I do too, and I think that's a fair way to go about, because they didn't know beforehand.
Right.
They shouldn't be blamed for that or not have to use their sick leave or vacation leave. And if they elect to do that after that memo has been released, then they need to use their leave time.
All directors were notified Monday morning about this, and so they shared it. And some people, they know about it. We kind of took a poll, who's planning to leave? And they're aware, and some of them think it's a little restrictive, and others understand.
Okay, Rich?
Yes, is anyone in Kodiak showing signs of the virus, or got the virus yet?
We have no confirmed cases as of yesterday.
I don't know if this is confirmed. I just heard that there was a couple Coast Guard gentlemen that came up with it. They took one of the barracks, it's one of the big barracks that was in mothballs, and came through the other day and dug all the parking lot out and removed the snow from around it and opened it up for that's going to be one of their places to keep the guys.
So yes. Maybe there was a suspicion of a person, but the Coast Guard has been at the ESC meetings. We haven't heard anything like that. I don't know, Mike, maybe you have.
No, we heard exactly what you're talking about, Rich.
Okay.
So if you are suspected of having a case, you're supposed to quarantine right away. So that's why they set up the barracks. And my understanding is that those two tests came back negative.
Okay.
So there are six cases in the state right now, and one in Ketchikan.
Yeah, so the city manager of Ketchikan emailed me yesterday, and some of his staff has it. And you know, he's been interacting closely with staff. We've restricted our building. We're even telling our staff, certain people are allowed in, but others just call us. There's a drop-off box that you drop information off, and it'll get distributed to the right department. We're keeping the interaction way down. Like I said, Ketchikan could explode a little bit more, because this person was sick in the building, interacting with all the employees, and then popped, very sick. And so they're worried about who actually got it and how great it spread. So again, isolation is so important. And if we could just keep people from traveling for a while, we could keep at zero cases.
I had a call last night from a woman who left a message on my landline, which I don't use. She called and I didn't recognize the number, so I didn't answer it. And her name was, I think, Kathy Wade Stone. I don't know her, I don't know the name, but she wanted the airlines to be shut down. And so I called her back, no one answered the phone. She called me this morning at 7 a.m. on the same landline, and I picked it up and there was no one there. So we may be getting calls about people wanting to do that. Rich, you had your hand.
Yeah, that's kind of something that I was going to ask. Was what are the airlines doing about this? I mean, are they being kind of pre-caught in Anchorage before they allow them to come here? Are we checking people out once they get off the plane, wherever they're coming in from? Anchorage is the hub.
Raven just issued a press release yesterday that they screen all their passengers before they get on.
With the amount of
temperature. They're not going to pre-screen all passengers. And they also, I talked to Bob Stanford yesterday. He said that Raven, he's never seen the Raven planes be so clean. So they're super cleaning all the airplanes. But the Raven for sure is pre-screening passengers.
And Alaska Airlines has put out their own press release on what they're doing to sanitize. probably don't have a lot of people on the plane right now either. So, and Mike, did you have an answer for that?
I heard that they may set something up here as people arrive even, but I don't think it's been established yet.
But we did talk this morning, and Lori, did you have your hand up?
No.
No? Oh, it was Charlie. We did talk this morning at the committee meeting about having the Emergency Operations Committee or whatever it is put up signs at the airport to quarantine if you have been out of state. And so I hope that's being followed up on. We're doing that, right?
We're going to.
Yeah. So, I mean, at least that's something for it to be put up so people can see that and use their best judgment. But even Anchorage, you know, it's a, go ahead, Charlie.
Thank you. Yeah,
I called on you.
Thank you, Madam. Yeah. I just want to suggest that any organization that receives these scary kind of phone calls, that they, if they can, get a caller ID to report it to the authorities so that they can follow up on that to avoid any kind of pandemonium out there, because something that like that would be released. And because if the authorities didn't follow up and it's a false call, then I don't know, I suppose there's an unlawful thing to do, I would imagine.
Well, it didn't bother me, but what I was trying to do outreach to this person, and then there was no way to do that, so I just don't want to be really harassed by phone calls with that kind of thing. So.
No, but I mean, just to prevent, not just you, but you know, anybody that's in a position that can get a caller ID from like that to...
But the caller ID for my house just had the number. It didn't have a person because that person is not known to me.
No, but the phone company could give the authorities that number. Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds complicated, but I think it's that important because of, you know, how things...
I did leave a message for her when she didn't answer the phone and what was being considered and talked about at this morning's meeting. I don't know. Not the first time.
Thank you. I didn't know if you were done yet, Mike.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to just make this statement, but I wanted to compliment you and your staff and you as mayor just... and outstanding leadership through this crisis. I mean, we're in uncharted waters right now. Nobody knows how to respond and when to respond and how much to respond, but I think the quality of the information coming out, the timeliness of it, I think the precision, and I just think the calm approach, collected approach, I think I've heard some other maybe leaders in town with more of a, pushing more of a panic button, chaos approach. I think that's absolutely unwarranted, unjustified, not what we need. So I wanted to compliment you on the approach and just the strength of both of the leadership.
Well, thank you, John. And I was just going to like to speak.
Well, let me say something on that note. Is that I think it's really important that, you know, the council is behind you, because it is a big weight on your shoulders. But the council is here. Also, they... I could tell you from going to the emergency service council meetings that people are supportive there. And I don't disagree with what you're saying, John. We just need to keep those people who seem to thrive on not be calm in check. And I think that with the group that we have at the emergency service council is doing that. Would you agree?
Yes. So I was going to add to that before we left today. I want to thank our staff, and you should know this. Our staff is stepping up, stepping their game up. They're working later to make accomplishments, to get things done at the last minute. They're doing a little bit outside their job duties because it's required. And they're also doing their jobs. So I really want to commend our staff. Everybody's holding strong. They're all in it. They're all in it, and they're all supportive, and they're giving me encouragement, you know, stay strong and get us through this. And it's a team effort, it really is. I just want to make a comment about our staff.
Yeah, you have a great staff, and that's what makes a difference as well.
Yeah.
Because this is just taking everything away and just focusing on this one arena of how to get through this. Laura?
I did have one more thing, Mike, for during the press release tonight. That's going to be live streamed on the website, on the website.
What's that? A live stream?
Pontiac Island Borough School District.
Okay.
That's where it is tonight.
Okay. And then, are they mentioning anything about out boarding supplies and letting, I think Safeway put up a sign that said, you know, the elderly should have their time. It's not a requirement.
Yeah, that is on, we talked about that today, and Safeway has released that. We're at the senior center are doing that. We have cats doing that, but that can be mentioned along with what's been closed. We have to be pretty succinct tonight about what we say in a bullet format so that people know who's doing what, who is the authority to do what, because it's confusing where you have this, the local planning emergency committee over here, you've got the care providers here from being led by the nurses, the public health nurses, then you've got the ESC over here, I hope I'm saying this right, and then you've got the emergency operations system over here. So it's trying to explain all that in a succinct way, but you know, there's no food shortage. This is what we keep hearing. Matson has done press releases regarding that, and Safeway, you go in there, you can see it all over the place where from 7 to 9 on Tuesdays and Thursdays, if you're elderly, disabled, or vulnerable, you can shop. We've got cats set up to transport people during those times.
So the press releases have been addressing that. If you haven't seen those, they've been addressing it, and we'll continue to send those messages. But like the mayor said, Madsen has released just yesterday that two barges a week still coming in. Some items are limited because they're not available in the Lower 48, but generally, there's plenty of supply.
People might have to adapt a bit
yeah.
with what they're eating or when they shop or just staying home. I know I talked to my mother this morning. She's in assisted living in Chicago, and she's not able to leave her room, and she was pretty upset by that. She couldn't walk, and now they're not even congregating with just two people at a table. So everyone's just having to relax and read a book or do something. Watch Netflix, crossword puzzle. And but I think collaboratively the community is stepping up.
So at 5 o'clock tonight, the ESC, which is one of those groups the mayor mentioned, which is the generals, the policy making group, is going to have a meeting at 5, and we're going to discuss declaring a local emergency.
Which would mean what?
What a local emergency means is we suspend rules from the borough and the city, and the emergency services director is in charge. And the first goal of that is to make us available for funding, because we've been putting a lot of time into this healthcare response. And we will start logging those hours and the expenses that we have incurred, and then they're subject to reimbursement by the state.
So the emergency declaration mirrors, if I'm correct, Mike, what we talked about this morning, the one that came from the governor last night. And with the...
We sent you a draft here this morning.
Yeah, and the declaration would be in effect until April 1, 2020, which is what came from the governor's office. So it's like we have the backup of the state, and that's what we're adapting for the one today.
So does the ESC have the power to impose regulations, if you will, borough-wide, without going through the various bodies?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
And so
they become the body.
Okay. So we had the draft that Tim Putney had written up for us, which was very good to have in front of us this morning, the declaration that just had the city of Kodiak on there, and we changed that. It's the Kodiak Emergency Service Council. It has the borough and the city logo, and because the Emergency Service Council includes other people as well. And that's just going to be there tonight with Mike speaking, though. And Larry Ledoux is going to be. Larry Ledoux has been really, really good.
Does that just apply to the road system? The villages are on their own, I believe.
That is something we still understand. They're on their own. That's the way it's set up. They have their own emergency plans, and that's how I understand it.
They are able to. Tribal entities are able to talk to the governor directly. They're not under our jurisdiction, really.
So,
was it Charlie or Rich? Rich?
What are we doing, or are we doing anything for the homeless? I know they just shut the Sullivan Arena down, and for the next 6 months, it's going to be a homeless shelter up in Anchorage.
Right, they have a lot more than we do.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, we do have people here that need help.
So this weekend, I thought of using the armory. I know the local task force, I think that's what they're called.
The Homeless Coalition.
Well, the National Guard.
The National Guard, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the National Guard. I called this weekend to see who to talk to, and thinking about using the armory as a day shelter for them, because as we close the library over the weekend, you'll notice there's no one here. So I just got noticed this morning before lunch that the governor has enacted the National Guard. So that means they're making their resources available. So that probably is going to be an implemented plan.
But we did contact Dana at the shelter. That's who's running the shelter now. And what was her response? She sent out a response.
I didn't see that, Pat.
It was something that they're managing okay with the number of people that they had. Mm-hmm. And something to that effect. But they were contacted, and the Emergency Service Council is trying to think of all these people, the food bank we talked about today, and I talked to Lola this morning, Lola Davis, is that Walmart has this immediate money that's available for food banks. So she's going to talk to the higher up in Anchorage. That's who she has to go through to apply for a grant. So, but Dana has been contacted.
Okay, thank you.
So I have another question.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
What about our economy in town? What are we going to do?
My next question.
What are we going to do with the businesses that are really, some are closing down, the sales tax is due, their heat bill is due, their rent is due, there's bills to pay. Do we want to create a holiday on the sales tax remittance? Do we want to do what? Do we want to postpone utility bills? Do we want to keep status quo?
This is something we have to think about. Go ahead, John.
But I put some suggestions. What I really recommend, though, is that you come up with a list of options for us, rather than just kind of hip shoot right now.
Okay.
Because if you suspend payments of sales tax, where people are currently collecting sales tax, but they're not going to remit it, you're better off just to say no more sales tax, but then that hurts us as a community. Mm-hmm. So I think this is more complicated than that. So I think that'd be something I'd be glad to sit on a group to talk about that a little bit more, discuss that further. But I'd also like to suggest we look at, once we do get through this, whether it's a month or 2 months or 3 months or whatever the time frame is, how do we restart our economy? Because I know half a dozen more businesses that are going to shut down, and some maybe will weather it better than others. What can we do as a community? What can we do as a city? What resources do we have available to restart these businesses? Because that's the lifeblood of our community, the small business.
And
how do we do that?
A lifeblood of family members and business owners as well. We talked about meeting with the chamber in that regard, and getting some feedback from them and what to do about that. And I agree with you, I think we need to have a list of options. What are the bills that people pay to the city that we could look at to suspend or whatever? But I think that would be good for that to come back.
And I don't know how effective this chamber will be. I mean, obviously historically they haven't been great. I think there's a new leadership, so perhaps be new initiatives coming out of the chamber, but I would suggest maybe a blend of public and private effort on a restart of the economy once we get to that point, because we might have access to grants or federal funding or state funding that they might not have through the chamber, maybe a compilation of private and public effort to restart the economy. That's probably premature, but I think it's not too soon to at least have it in thinking about it now so that we can be ready when it happens.
And there's something that just came out from the Small Business Administration, too. That's why I think it's important to talk to the Chamber and have them part of these discussions.
Absolutely.
And that would be good outreach. I just got that. I don't know what happened to it. but it's something from the Small Business Administration and how they're helping. Oh, here it is. Anyway, that, and I know that with the new leadership at the chamber, Sarah is her name, right? Sarah has been very good about even having small business classes go on. So there are going to be opportunities there, and any way that we can help with that, I think that we should.
So that's a comment I heard this morning. Once you shut down, how do you start back up?
Yeah.
And I've had questions asked of me in the last several days since Monday. Today's only Wednesday. My goodness. about sales tax and those businesses that are probably using their sales tax money to pay their heat bill. It's because the market's not there. That's an assumption, of course. Okay, we'll bring back some options. That's not an immediate concern, but it's a question that I do receive.
And I think that outreach to the businesses in the community is important to know that we're there to help them in any way and support them. And I think first starting with the chamber and see what we can do through Sarah.
I'll say that the council is looking at those options.
Yeah.
Okay.
John?
Just a thought though is, yeah, that might be an economic stimulus to set a window called 3 months of sales tax forgiveness. In other words, basically the public would fund the restart. If that were the case, if we forgave that remittance to sales tax. But then the real question is, can we as a city afford to give
right.
up 3 months of sales tax?
Right.
So I think the devil will be in the details of that.
What?
Every time.
Yeah, it's, maybe the last quarter, maybe people are going to be buying online.
But, well, I don't mean to take all the time here, but if we were to contemplate something like that, of forgiveness of sales tax, you know, between now and June 1, or whatever the time frame is, I'd want people to know that in advance so they could at least try to use that money wisely and not just fritter it away, and then when June comes around, they're still in the same shape they would have been if you hadn't done it. So there needs to be some really clear thought that goes into this.
So I'm a member of a balanced approach, and I'm just giving an example here, a regular membership each month. I just do it monthly and not do a punch card or anything like that. And the owner, Tracy Chandler, sent out a note and gave people options to give a refund. But it seems like, and I just said, no, just do that and until you can open up again. She's suspended classes until the end of March and then she'll reevaluate. But it seems like people are just saying, no, just keep me on the list and renew me and having that support for local businesses. And that's the email I got back from her today. So I hope that people do that. You know, if they can afford to do it, then why not do it?
That'd be a good message to hear from the chamber. Maybe
yeah.
the chamber take a lead in that messaging.
Yeah, because it's helping everyone in the community. Okay, Mike, did you have anything else?
Not at the immediate moment.
You need to take care of yourself too.
Yeah.
You have a hot tub that you can sit in.
Trying hard.
It's important. It's pretty, you know, today was just in there at the center and just handing out these drive-through meals, and it was like, this is just surreal. It's just surreal. It's
did
so
we,
weird.
Did we wear roller skates?
No, nor a uniform. But I make sure they got their meal.
So we worked all Saturday. We're working till 9 o'clock at night. Not in the office, but responding.
You're responding.
As everything's going on, it's been very busy. But once again,
staffed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
no,
great.
Henry's closed. One of their employees said they were just going to close and just wait it out and see what's going to happen. So they're not even doing it to go or take out or anything like that.
Which one is that?
Henry's.
Oh, Henry's. All they are. Okay.
My son's restaurant in Pittsburgh, and he's the executive chef, so he's on salary, but they closed the restaurant Monday. And even though he's on salary, he's not going to get paid,
right. Which
doesn't make sense. But you know, he's in a position where he can sustain a month or 2 months or 3 months because he's put money aside. But the guys with dishwashers,
right. It's
like at Henry's.
That's the problem.
They're not going to make it.
I know, and that's
months.
What that, I think that's the outreach that we need to have. And that's what we've talked about at the ESC. That's the kind of community we need to stand up to be. And and find out what's going on within the different groups that are out there, because we do have different groups, and to make that contact to see what the needs are. You know, there are people that are going to be paid, and how can they assist with something in giving to people who cannot? You know, whether it's through the church, the food bank, or donating whatever they have.
Yep, donating, yeah. We're talking about setting something up outside of Safeway. Not we, I don't know who's going to take the lead on it, but, you know, a food box, you can put food in and have a money jar or something. Somebody manning it, of course, but just for those. And is the city, one of these options we'll talk about in the future here is, are we going to help stimulate the food bank or certain organizations through nonprofits this year?
Well, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's a whole other one. So.
I do know that I talked to our pastor at church, who's in communication with a network of pastors in town, so they're aware that churches are aware of the need. I think probably the challenge for them is determining a need and then how to respond. So there is a group that is standing by to respond. They just don't know the when and the where. So it might be at some point good to include them at least as responders in terms of one-on-one help.
I know Jim's been talking to all the faith-based groups in town. I think there's 14 on the list that he's talking to.
Okay. Yeah, because it was a concern of people even getting together and having church last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Major Dave are always in communication.
But that would be a good outlet, though, and there are several groups of, you know, there are the Saints churches, and then probably the more fundamentalist churches, and we need to hear from all these groups.
So if I could wrap up with a comment.
You bet.
So with this ordinance today, we're going to be flexible on how we come together. Shorter notice is allowed. I'm going to be able to make decisions here that are going to affect, you know, this community. I just want you to know that, and I will keep you informed as much as possible. And, you know, if you don't know it now, my heart is in the community, so I'm making decisions for the community.
With support. We got your back.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can I give a positive report? Pollock's Area 620 closes today. Area 630 closed last week. 620 closes today, and fishing has been phenomenal.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, fishing's been unbelievable. I talked to a couple of fishermen. They said that they, you know, the guys were putting in a 40,000-pound bag. So they've been filling their boat in 40 minutes.
That's wonderful. That's good.
It fills up. They dump the bag, fill it up again, and they tow a bag in. And then fishing has been absolutely just the most prolific fishing they've ever seen.
Good size.
Yeah, good size, good quality fish. Over on the Katmai side. So it's just been phenomenal. But it closes today.
We can use that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does anybody have anything else? Okay. Could I have a motion to adjourn?
So
Charlie?
Second.
Okay. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Bishop?
Yes.
Mr. Davidson?
Yes.
Mr. Walker?
Yes.
Mr. Whedon?
Yes.
Ms. Arboleda?
Yes.
Would anyone like to change their vote? Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all.
All right. Is it taking